If you have a Bible, open to the book of Isaiah, chapter 3. I'm going to read quite a bit in your hearing. I'm hoping that I don't preach so hard I can't preach this afternoon. I'm going to do my best. Isaiah 3, verse 16. Now, after I read this in the King James, I will read it again in your hearing from today's English version. Verse 16, moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanted eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore, the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their calls and their round tires like the moon. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnet and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets of the earrings, the rings of the nose ring, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins. The glasses and the fine linen and the hood and the veils. It shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle a rent, and instead of well set hair baldness, instead of a stomacher a girdling of sackcloth, and burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword and Thy mighty in the war. And her gates shall lament and mourn, and she bring desolate shall sit upon the ground. And in that day, seven women will take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. Yes, sir. I want to talk about girls gone wild. Girls gone wild. Let me read it again, beginning at verse 16, so that you might understand some of these apparatuses. It said, the Lord said, look how proud the women of Jerusalem are. They walk along with their noses in the air. They're always flirting. They take dainty little steps and the bracelets on their ankles jingle. But I will punish them. I will shave their heads and leave them bald. The day is coming when the Lord will take away from the women of Jerusalem everything they are so proud of. The ornament they wear on their ankles, on their heads, on their necks, and on their wrists. He will take away their veils and their hats, their magic charms they wear on their arms and at their waist, the rings they wear on their fingers and in their noses, all their fine robes, gowns, cloaks, and purses, the revealing garments, their linen handkerchief, and the scarves and long veils they wear on their heads. Instead of using perfumes, they will stink. Instead of fine belts, they will wear coarse ropes. Instead of having beautiful hair, they will be bald. Instead of fine clothes, they will be dressed in rags. Their beauty will be turned to shame. The men of the city, yes, even the strongest men, will be killed in war. The gates will mourn and cry, and the city itself will be like a woman sitting on the ground, stripped naked. When that time comes, seven women will grab hold of one man. and say we can feed and clothe ourselves. But please let us say that you are our husband, so that we don't have to endure the shame of being unmarried. Again, girls gone wild. When God made woman, she was the grand climax of God's creative plan. It was as though God had saved the very best for last. Even though she was made to be a help suitable for Adam, every detail about her expressed that God, in his design of her, was making distinct differences from the man. God created her to be physically, emotionally, anatomically, and psychologically different. She was man's counterpart, and she was made for him, made from him, given to him, named by him. But she was still God's classic work of art. Oh, there's nothing like a woman. God was just showing off. She was man's complement, his companion, his completion. She was made from his rib, close to his heart, under his arm, to be protected, loved, and cherished. Not from his foot to be walked upon, not from his head to be above him, but she was his crown upon the head in which he was to lead. Yeah, man was her head, her covering, her provider. He was never superior to her. She was never inferior to him. God simply held man responsible to lead her because God made man first. He did it on purpose. It was not by accident. God knew what he was doing. Protect her, provide for her, cherish her, love her, lead her. She was never to lead him. This is God's design. It's never to be dismantled. It's never to be disassembled by Satan, by the world, man, or woman. It's God's design. God's design of man's masculinity and God's design of women's femininity was never to be mixed, mingled, blended into something that was androgynous. God knew what he was doing. He made them male and he made them female. We learn as little children that girls were not only different from boys, but girls were special. You remember the question, what are little girls made of? Sugar and spice and everything nice. That's what little girls are made of. Well, what are little boys made of? Snakes and snails, puppy dog tails. That's what little boys are made of. The message is not about boys going wild. Boys always been wild. But times are changing. Haven't you noticed? Yes. History has proven that female often excel the male in the capacity to endure ill treatment, sorrow, pain, and separation. The Godfather of Soul, the late James Brown, said it's a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing without a woman or a girl, sugar and spice, and everything nice. I often thought about that spice. Maybe it was nutmeg. Maybe it was cinnamon, but lately it seems to be cayenne pepper. Because it seems now they are hot the track. Girls going wild. They're on fire with desire. They yearn to burn for boys and sometimes other little girls. Girls have gone wild. I don't understand it. I remember coming up as a little boy, we had to beg for everything.
Yes, sir.
Beg for a name, beg for a phone number, beg for a date, beg for sex. And we didn't mind because our theme song was by the Temptation. We ain't too proud to beg. We beg in a minute. Drop down one knee, two knee, whatever it took. But boys ain't got to beg no more. Y'all believe me when I tell you, girls have gone wild. She's come a long way, baby. A long way. She's a soldier. She's a police officer. She's a firefighter. She's a doctor. She's an attorney. She's a mayor. She's a governor. She's a scientist. She's an astronaut. She's a prize fighter. Yes, she's a senator, and she may be your next president. Girls have come a long way. They've joined the You Go Girl Club, where Oprah is the president. You go, girl. Don't misunderstand. This is not a sermon about woman thou art loose, but woman thou art too loose. But girl, have gone wild. I'm surprised all the time when I see how this nation is going. It bothers me greatly that the standard has been lowered in relationship to young girls. Yes, there's no longer home training in the home like it used to be. They're not taught to be young ladies in the morning. Sit up. Do this. Don't cross your legs. Don't wear your skirt that high. Don't show everything God gave you. Address a certain kind of way. It's not ladylike to talk like that. Don't pop your gum when you chew. Don't walk like a boy. It seems like something has gone wrong in the uptraining and the home training of little girls. Sugar and spice. Everything nice. I don't know. The standard has sometimes seemed as though it has slipped away. In the text today, the writer is Isaiah. And the prophet's business was to show all sorts of people in every category what they had contributed to the national guilt and what they were to share and expected in the national judgments of God. He was able to see and to show them what was on his way. Here in our text, he reproved and warns the daughters of Zion, the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And I need to say right here so that you'll not say I'm violating the text. I know that he's talking to the Jews. I know that he's talking to the daughters of Zion. He is not talking to the United States of America here. But he's talking to people in the East whose customs were better than the customs that we observe.
Amen.
It was important and still is important for women in the East to have a husband, to be able to bring children into the world. The abortion rate is nowhere as high in the Eastern world as it is in the Western world. People want children in the Eastern world. People don't want them in the Western world. Truth of the matter is it's an approach upon a woman not to have a husband, not to carry his name, not to have children. So, but the time is coming where things are getting ready to change, because in that day, as spoken by Isaiah, means it'll be that day of calamity. It'll be that day when tribulation shall come upon this, right before Jesus comes back. In the last days, in the days we're living right now, these are the last days. We're warned in 2 Timothy 3:1. Know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We're already in these days. They have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. And he says, from such, turn away. They cannot lead you. Yeah, we're living in those last days. But in our text, Isaiah warns of the thing that are about to come. He talks of the women who walk around with their noses up in the air and their necks outstretched. They're proud. They take little dainty steps and they jingle as they walk with all of their jewelry and attachments. They're flirting with men. They're trying to, not only to get a husband, they don't mind trying to get somebody else's husband. Yeah, girls are going wild. And as we read the text and we realize what's going on, we know that if it's happening in Zion, it must be even worse in the Western world, in the United States, where our morals are at an all-time low. You go, girl. You've invaded a lot of territory. You've even invaded the sacred pulpit, pastoral ministry. You were never to go there, but weak jellyfish men let you there. And only strong, God-called men will keep you out of there. I'm not mad at nobody. I ain't fighting nobody. I don't care if you pastor 10,000 people, sister. I don't care how well you preach. It ain't in the Bible. You were never to lead men. Men are to lead men. Yeah. I know that men have messed up. I know that men always mess up. But this was God's design, and you're not to tamper with what God has done. But I know it's in your DNA. It's in your union bylaws. The union bylaws of the girls today allow you to adjust your living to a lifestyle that surrounds you. And so it happens in our schools. No matter how much mama you told her to keep her skirt down, and how you told her not to wear those provocative outfits. When she goes to school, she puts on a whole new uniform. You don't know nothing about it. She's been told in the Bible how she ought to dress. And if there's something, then you really read the New Testament, you'll find out that God has more to say about women's dress and women's makeup and women's attire and more than they ever say about men. Come on, let me show you the standard of Christian women. It's in 1 Timothy and 2 chapter 9. In like manner, also the women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. Let me read it again from the New Living Testament. I want women to be modest in their appearance. They should wear decent and appropriate clothes and not draw attention to themselves by the way they fix their hair or by wearing a pearl and expensive clothes. For women who claim to be devoted to God should make themselves attractive by doing good things. Hello. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. I didn't make this up. This is the Bible. Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Yeah. God has given you a standard. 1 Peter 3:1, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by your conversation or your behavior or characteristic. While they behold your chaste conversation, the way you live, coupled with fear, whose adorning, let it not be with outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair, the wearing of gold, or the putting on apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of meek and quiet spirit. That ain't what I'm seeing. Watch how women come up in here with a hoochie mama outfit on. Yeah, that's what I said. Don't get upset with me. I call you a hoochie mama. There are things that are not appropriate for the worship of God. There's a dress code here in the Bible. Listen. I recognize the UPS driver by his uniform. I recognize the police officer by his uniform. The Marine by his uniform. The Air Force by his uniform. The Navy by his uniform. And I know when a hoochie mama got on a hoochie mama uniform. If you're not a hoochie mama, quit wearing a hoochie mama uniform to church. It ain't just the little girls, neither. Come on. The guidelines have been already stated. Titus tells the mothers to teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. We have the standard by which you are to conduct your life. Yes. But in our schools, in our elementary schools, junior high schools, we have lesbian clubs. Little girls walking like boys, dressing like boys, talking like boys, curse more than boys, profanity come out of their mouth, every other word, they're worse than the boys, because girls have gone wild. The boys are running from them. Oh yeah, they're running from them. They ain't running real fast, but they're running. Let's just say they're walking swiftly. But see, when a girl puts something on you, you don't want to punk out. Can you handle this? I don't know. It ain't nothing to get a phone. I remember my daughter, some little boy, rang my phone and I said, "How did he get this number?" She said, "I gave it to him." I said, "What did he ask for?" He said, "He asked for my number." I said, "You didn't give him the number, you gave him my number." You don't have no telephone. I pay this bill. But now, girls going wild, got their own phone. Got their own computer. And some got their own web page. Taking pictures of themselves and exposing themselves online for everybody to see. Because girls have gone wild. Parents, you better check your children. Don't let the TV and the internet raise your children. Don't let hip-hop music raise your children. You better invade their privacy of their life. Now here's one thing. Children, I don't want you coming in my room. First of all, let me explain. Baby, you ain't got no room. You haven't paid one dime of this mortgage. You don't have a room. It's my house, my bedroom. I bought the bed, the mattress, and the spread on the bed. All the clothes in the closet I bought. This is my house. I have a right to inspect every room, every corner, every crevice of my house. Let me tell you something. I used to say this about little bad boys, but I got to say this about girls. Sometimes you got to understand what you need to do is go down to the hardware store or go down to Lowe's or go down to a Home Depot and say, "Cut me a 2x4 about yay long." Yeah, I know they're taping this. 2x4. About 42 inches long. Now you wanna be nice, so if you can, wrap some cotton around the end. Amen. They might come arrest me in the morning for telling y'all this, but this is what you need to do. You need to introduce that girl, introduce that boy to Mr. 2x4, because they don't know Mr. 2x4. You've been trying to talk with them. You've been trying to reason with them. You've been asking them little polite questions, and they don't even answer you. But they will answer to Mr. 2x4. It may not be a language that you can understand, but they will answer to Mr. 2x4. Now, here's how you introduce Mr. 2x4 to them. You know that they're coming home. You get behind the door. Preferably their bedroom door. Crouch down. Do not let them see you. By the time they enter the room, take Mr. 2x4 and thusly swing. Swing thusly, aiming somewhere between the ankle and the knee. We don't want to break anything, we just want to get their attention. And once they fall, and if you do it thusly, they will fall. Stand over them with those immortal words. "I brought you in this world, and I will take you out." A good lesson from Pastor Twyman. Rather have them with broken bones than to embarrass me before God in this world. Divorce is riding. Marriage is almost a joke. Same-sex marriages are on the rise. As this country sinks lower and lower in morals. College girls called LUGs. LUG stands for L-U-G. A LUG is a lesbian until graduation. LUGs are at Michigan State, U of M, and even Wayne State and other college campuses, where girls have said that they may remain sexually active, but they do not want children. They become lesbians until they graduate. What they do not understand is that when they take this lifestyle, they bring into them a spirit, a demonic spirit, that when graduation time comes around, they will not be able to release that spirit that they once embraced, because there are demons controlling the sexual activities of our young people. This is real. This is not physical. This is spiritual warfare in high places. They have clubs in schools. Now, little boys used to fight all the time. But teachers have reported to me that many times it's the girls fighting. Girls are trying to look like boys, act like boys, dress like boys, fighting over girls. Girls fighting over girls. Something's wrong. They don't want to be young ladies. Don't want to be children. They don't dress like children. They dress provocatively. They want to be sexually active. Even in the fourth grade, we're finding that more and more children are sexually active. What they've learned from other children. What they've learned from television. What they've learned from Hollywood. What they've learned from the internet. But they've learned nothing from parents and the church. I'm telling you, girls have gone wild. Yeah, sugar and spice and everything nice. It is reported now that college students, young girls, are selling their eggs online. Newsweek magazine reports that more and more young women are become surrogate mothers, making anywhere from $20,000 to $25,000 for carrying a baby full term. I'm telling you, things have changed now. Girls have gone wild. Yes, TV and Hollywood are a cesspool of sin, and matrimony is a disaster. Our morals have become lax as the society degenerates. God-fearing wives and mothers are becoming vital factors in the spiritual evaluation of any nation. For as the women of a nation go, so goes the nation. Yes, the hand that rocks the cradle still rules the world. When girls go wild, women go wild, the nation goes wild. Christian women. That's why the Bible has so much to say about your conduct and your character and your dress and your makeup and your jewelry. It has much to say, because as Christian women go, so goes Christianity. Marriage used to be important. Here, Isaiah, he says that all of these things God will take from them as judgment comes. He says the men, even the mighty men, will fall in war, for there will be a great disaster in wars. And men will be dispersed of. And in that day, There'll be seven women to one man. No, there's almost that. Not that way now. When you think about the fact that no less than 140,000 troops of United States, including men and women, are now in Iraq. When you think about the number of men who are in jail on drugs or homosexuals, it's getting slim pickings now for a woman. And then somebody lowered the standard of what cute is. I don't know who did that, but anytime you think Flavor Flav is cute, so somebody snuck in and lowered the standard on the chart and didn't say nothing. Lil Wayne ain't cute. Some of y'all older women act like y'all know who I'm talking about. Yes, you do. Yeah, we don't seem to be headed in the right direction. They said, we'll cook our own food, make our own clothes. Let me go far as to add and say, we'll pay our own car note.
Come on.
We'll take care of our bills and yours. Just marry us to take away this reproach. Just give us your name. Now this is not trendy in this country where we stand, because most women don't want the man or his name. Amen. And a lot of time they can't get the man, so they give their baby the daddy's name. Hello. You got three kids, all of them got a different last name. You couldn't get him to wed, but you got him to bed. Why give him the baby's name when he didn't give you his name? Hello. What was wrong with the name you had? It was good enough for you, wasn't it? It was your daddy's name. When you were born, they gave you your daddy's name. When you get married, you take that name and give it back to daddy and take your husband's name. Now, thus when you take his name, you need not hyphenate the name, keeping your daddy's name, hello, with your husband's name. I wish my wife would hyphenate her name. I've heard the argument, well, before I married him, I had all this other property in my name and I wanted to keep that name. Listen, when you marry me, everything you got, I got. Everything I got, you got. Ain't none of this stuff before. Ain't no prenup. Black people don't do no prenup. Now, if you got the, you know I know who got the hyphenated names in here. You know I know who you are. I ain't mad at you. We've changed. When women had babies out of wedlock, we said they were loose women. The term changed after there was this stirring up of sexual equality. And then we said, well, we just call them unwed mothers. And someone has recently taken that title of unwed mothers and dipped it in gold and came up with single parent. Oh, I'm a single parent. No, you're a floozy. That's what you are. I believe God called you something worse than that. Amen, single parent. Now, I do realize that we have single parents whose husbands have deserted them, or they've gone through a divorce, because marriage just don't last long anymore. Amen. We don't go into it like we should. A man, a woman, and God. Threefold cord is not easily broken. That's what it says in Ecclesiastes. Man, woman, and God. If you take those three, you'll braid them together, they'll stay together. If you just take two, they're twisted together. And that's what's wrong with a lot of y'all. Y'all just got twisted. Because God wasn't nowhere in the plan. Marriage today doesn't last as long as a good diehard battery from Sears. And it comes with no particular warranty. People jump out, they jump in, they jump in, they jump out, and then they do it again, marrying somebody else. Making somebody else's life miserable. You remember that movie, What Love Got to Do with Ike and Tina Turner? You remember the courtroom scene where Tina said, he can have all that. All I want is his name. Because Tina had made a lot of money with that name. But women don't even want the name anymore. Our schools are trying to teach a diversity, telling our young people to accept blended families and unions of homosexuals and lesbians and so forth and so on, because the school can't do it all. It needs to be taught in the home what God said is right. Yeah, who can find a virtuous woman? Proverbs 31:10, for her price is far above rubies. This particular passage in Proverbs exalts and honors the dignity of womanhood. It says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Because a virtuous woman is a one who fears God. Yeah. We've got some problems. The standards have come down. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, if you cannot contain, it's better for them to marry, for it's better to marry than to burn. And this cayenne pepper has burned them up. Yes, Lord. We've got some problems. But thank God we still have Jesus. It's not too late. Girls have gone wild, but they can be tamed. And the taming of our young ladies is the same as taming our young men. There is a poison that drives girls and boys wild. It's called sin. And there is an antidote for sin. It's called the blood of Jesus. And the blood of Jesus will wash away sin and make you brand new. You cannot adjust to the standard of living that God has given. You cannot be obedient to the word of God except you first give your life to Jesus Christ. It takes a working on the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you to make you everything that you should be. Sugar and spice and everything nice. Yes, but it takes sugar and spice and Jesus to make you everything that you need to be for the glory of God. I'm glad that there's still hope for our young ladies, especially those that are part of this congregation and a part of the family of this congregation. There's hope, but we still need to give them that hope and tell them that they're not a lost cause. Take some time with your children. Find out what's going on in their mind. What's going on in their life. Find out and talk to them about Jesus. And then let me tell you something else. Your child will not play the part of a hypocrite. They watch what you do. They hear what you say. You can tell them and you can tell them all you want to, but if you're doing the same old mess. We have now young girls, have a little boy come by and mama flirting with the boy. Girls have gone wild. But Jesus can tame you. Yes, it's true that by a woman sin came into the world. But by another woman, a Savior was born. Thank God for Mary, who birthed a son who was born of a virgin. Yes, Jesus came to save us. He came to rearrange our life and to tame that which was wild. He died on the cross for our sins, for your sins and for my sins. Just one drop of blood would have been enough to save a whole world. But he shed his life's blood upon the cross of Calvary. One drop, two drops, three drops, four drops of blood, enough to save the whole world. He died for your sins and mine. They took him down from a cross, put him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there Friday, and the book said all day Saturday. But Sunday morning, he rose from the grave. Yes, he rose from the grave. Oh, power. Oh, power. Oh, power in his hand. He rose. He is the antidote. He is the cure. He is the remedy for girls gone wild. The blood of Jesus will wash you. The blood of Jesus will keep you. The blood of Jesus shall sustain you. Yes, it will. I thank God for the blood. Time is coming. Seven women to one man. I bake my own bread. Make my own clothes. Just give me your name. There's a better name. You don't need no husband. You need Jesus. He'll be a husband to you. He'll be more than anyone will ever be to you. Don't beat yourself up because you don't. There's no such thing as an old maid. Just be a young maid in Jesus. Give him your life. God bless you. Stand to your feet. The door of the church is open.